Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them baptizing. John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there. And people came to be baptized, for John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, he's baptizing, and everyone is coming to him." John answered and said, "No one can receive anything except what has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Christ,' but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase. I must decrease." The Gospel of the Lord. On this penultimate day of the Christmas season, go back to the beginning of the Christmas season. When we sing, for example, in "O Little Child of Bethlehem," "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." The reason for the season of Christmas is not just Jesus, but what Jesus wants to do in us. He took on our humanity so that we might take on his divinity. He wants to be born in us. But just like, as you know oh so well, when a baby is born, the baby begins to grow. So that grace that God gives us at Christmas is meant to grow. And that's why today, as we approach the baptism of the Lord tomorrow, we not only have this scene of Jesus's and the apostles themselves baptizing, but also John the Baptist's joy at Jesus's taking up his public ministry. And after the interrogation, as if he would be jealous, he defined his relationship to the Lord as the friend of the bridegroom, that best man who would get the bride ready for the bridegroom's eventual coming. And that the bridegroom had to increase and the best man needed to decrease. At the end of this Christmas season, we're called to examine those ways that Christ is meant to increase in us as everything else relatively takes second seat. In the first letter from St. John, he describes two ways Christ is supposed to increase in us. The first is in our confidence in prayer. St. John says, "We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And we know, if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked him for is already ours." That we receive the down payment because we have received the giver who gives himself first before any of these other gifts. The Lord wants us, recognizing that he is with us, that he has come to make us partakers in his divinity, that he has given us power through his incarnation to become sons and daughters of God. He wants that to fill us with such an incredible confidence to be able to turn through, with, and in him to the Father and to ask for anything we really need in confidence. Today we ask him with confidence for the grace truly to increase as he wants. But our prayer should be increasing in that quality of divine sonship. Mentioned to you before that when St. Augustine was teaching on prayer, he said, the way the Holy Spirit helps us to pray because we don't know how to pray as we ought, is not with the quid ores, but the qualis ores. Not the what you pray, but the how, the who you are as you pray. That the Holy Spirit helps us to become confident that we are beloved sons and daughters of the Eternal Father, who would never give us a stone when we ask for bread, or a scorpion when we ask for a fish. God wants us to increase in that confidence so that we might pray more and more as his beloved children. The second way that we're called to be increasing that St. John talks about to the first Christians, but whose words never have an expiration date, is in the moral life. That when we have been begotten by God, that when we have been made partakers in the Lord's divinity, that influences our actions. And to the extent that we are united with God, we don't sin. And we know that even post-baptismally, each of us has sinned. The just person sins 7 times a day, as we see in the Old Testament. We're examining our conscience every night. We're taking advantage of the sacrament of confession. There are parts in us that are still awaiting union with the Lord. But the Lord wants his communion with us continuously to grow. To the extent that it does grow, our attachment to sin, our following concupiscence, wanes in comparison to our attachment with him and our desire to do everything that pleases him. So that's why he's able to say, we know that anyone begotten by God doesn't sin. Because the one begotten by God he protects, and the evil one can't touch him. And the one begotten by God truly entrusts himself to that protection. We know that we belong to God. Belong to God. That through our baptism we have exchanged ownership. That's what our consecration means. We've given God the title of our life. Satyr, we're cut off from worldliness. Con, to be with God. And he wants to bring that to perfection. He's already done it in down payment. At the level of our being, we already belong to him. But at the level of our freedom, and the moral life that flows from our freedom, that's going to be continuously an act in progress. We need to entrust ourselves more and more to him, to whom we belong by our supernatural rebirth. So, the Lord wants us to increase in our prayer. He wants us to increase in our belonging to him in all our actions. And then there's another way he wishes to increase. He wishes to increase in the world. And he sends us out, just as Jesus was himself baptizing with his apostles and then sent them out, to help the Lord increase in others so that they might recognize this belonging and align their entire life in accordance with that identity. Today the church celebrates the feast of someone who experienced this increase both as a disciple and as an apostle. The church celebrates St. Margaret Bourgeois today. And I know you don't need to know any details about St. Margaret Bourgeois, but just because Nick is here with us and you might not know, well, indulge us all. So she was born in Troyes, France, in 1620. She was an orphan as a young child, but she knew that the church was her mother. She had a huge care for the orphans, because she had been one. There was a convent of sisters, a cloistered convent that ran a school, but the only kids who were able to receive an education were those whose parents lived the faith in such a way that they brought them to the convent school. The orphans never received this, so she started a confraternity to go out to teach the orphans with the education she herself had received. She had wanted to become a sister, but at the time in France, to be a sister meant to be cloistered, and she recognized that if she went into the cloister, so many of these girls in particular would never receive an education. So she just lived more or less as a member of the confraternity. Eventually, somebody came from the Ville des Maries, which was the predecessor of Montreal, Canada, describing all the orphaned mothers in Montreal. For reasons that are hard to understand a few centuries later, a lot of the times the orphaned girls were sent to the New World to start new families to populate the colonies. If they didn't have any families of their own, they could be more or less generative biological missionaries to populate the New World. And so all these moms who had no family, all these girls, were sent just to find some guy in the New World and have kids. And one of the priests from Ville des Maries, City of Mary, came back to her city and explained the problem and asked her if she would be willing to come and do there in the New World what she was doing in her native city. And she said yes. And she went, and she became one of the two real founders of the city of Montreal, because she was the one who brought education there, starting with these orphaned mothers, but then building into an enormous school system. She was one who allowed the Lord to increase in her life, and then she gave her life founding the Sœurs de Notre-Dame de Montréal, the Sisters of Our Lady of Montreal, to be able to help Jesus increase in others. We ask her intercession today that we might have the same zeal for moms in difficult circumstances as she always did. The principal means by which Jesus is born in us again, the way he seeks to increase, is as leaven in Eucharistic communion. He comes within us to help us to pray as sons and daughters from the inside in communion with him, helps us to remain in him who is God with us, so that all our actions bear his odor. And he's also remaining within us so that we can go out and share him with others, so that he might continue to increase in them. Today, through St. Margaret's intercession, we pray for this holy increase. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.